Thanks, everyone. My name is Veronica Jackson. I'm filling in for Dr. Suh. I'm a project manager from Atlas Research. I'm going to talk a little bit about our Rural Women Veterans Health Program. These are the authors of this study, and I can be a conduit to them if you'd like more information afterwards, if I'm unable to answer your questions, that is. All right, so just to set the stage, VA, as you know, is historically and primarily a male-driven organization, but that's changing. We're seeing that women make up about 20% of the new recruits, and will comprise 10% of the total veteran population by 2018. And unfortunately, the VA at its most basic level, all the way down to the infrastructure and the providers that are serving these veterans, is not prepared for this change. And so what we sought to do in this study is figure out some of the needs, do a gap assessment, and then institute an outreach program, which I'll talk more about in subsequent slides. The VA has, for the reasons that I just cited, identified women veteran health as one of its 13 greatest challenges, and would like to better address the quality and access gaps in gender-specific services. Without reading you the statistics, I'd like to just focus on the middle one here, where you see that 28.9% of women veterans are enrolled in the VA. I'd like to split that for you, if I could, between women from previous eras and female Operation Enduring Freedom, Iraqi Freedom veterans. We're seeing a much greater incidence of enrollment for the younger population of women veterans, at around 51% compared to 11%. All right, so next we have here our target area for the Rural Women Veterans Needs Assessment. The orange counties that you see here are rural counties, characterized by more than 53% of the veterans in them living in a rural census tract. And then the white counties are urban, and the light orange are veterans who, or are counties that have 50%, so almost rural, if you will. What we did is we focused on four community-based outpatient clinics in this area. One of them over on the Eastern Shore, and then one down in Southern Maryland in St. Mary's County, and two in the Western area of the service network. All right, so this is just to build the case for the need for these services within the catchment area that I just showed you. There are almost 80,000 women veterans in 2009 in the catchment area that I've just described, and that's going to increase by about 14% over the next 5 years by 2015. And some of the reasons why this is significant, which you can imagine, but I'll go ahead and itemize here, there will be a greater need for reproductive health within these clinics, greater need for breast and cervical cancer screenings, which a lot of these providers are not equipped to provide. The women veterans that we talked to had access issues that were caused directly by their caregiver responsibilities, whether it be their parents, their spouses, or their children. And unfortunately, some of the women veterans that were coming out were much more likely to be diagnosed with mental health disorders, particularly as a result of military sexual trauma, which arguably you would imagine that they wouldn't want a male to help them provide for. Trauma-related injuries, differences in clinical diagnoses, and then very basic things like the physical infrastructure of the buildings. We would find that the waiting rooms wouldn't have adequate security, the exam rooms wouldn't have bathrooms nearby so that women would have to walk past a lot of men to get to their exams and their gowns. Things like clinical competency, and then there are no specific measures of satisfaction for women. All right. Okay, so the program objectives listed here, we've really separated into six tasks. The first thing that we did is a baseline assessment and developed recommendations for and the foundation for the remainder of the program. Next, we developed an outreach program, not instituted but developed. We did hire three FTE nurse practitioners spread across the four sites that I've told you about. to institute that outreach program. And then subsequently, the next two, the Health Professionals Training Program and the Health Education Program, were developed together. We created about 23 education modules. For the first component of that, we trained the providers, and the second component was intended to train the women veterans themselves. In lieu of actually, so our original scope was to establish additional clinical services where they might be needed. We felt after getting far into the program that that was going to be the kind of thing that would require more robust analysis. So in lieu of that, what we did is we did interviews with women veterans who are going to these community-based outpatient clinic sites to really determine what their needs are before we start trying to possibly address the wrong thing. Okay, so this is our approach to the assessment. First, we conducted a literature review, projected health needs, analyzed the data to find the demographics of the women that were going to our sites and their utilization of the services that were already in place there. There was a focus group, a few focus groups actually, that were conducted by Gallup, and we reviewed their findings. And then the last two things on here, first for the field work, we created a checklist based on national guidelines for the kinds of services that should be available for women. And we did a gap analysis. We went to each of the sites, we ran down the checklist, figured out what they did have and they didn't have, and where there was room for improvement. And then the qualitative interviews, like I said, is the our 73 interviews with the women veterans themselves, and then 23 with the providers of those services. Okay, so generally one of our findings was that approximately, well, you'll see here, these are our four sites. There were, at each of them, 89 women enrollees, 91, 53, 52, respectively. Those were the number of people who were enrolled in the VA, not necessarily the number of people who were actively using the services in the clinics. We found that about 50% generally, and you'll see that a large exception to that is the Charlotte Hall numbers, around 50% of them were actually using the services. Now, we know that the national average for that within the VA is much higher. It's around 76%. And so the question that we asked ourselves was, well, what is it that these sites are doing that or not doing that is causing such a low utilization rate of their services? And this really created a foundation for the need for the kinds of needs assessment that we did. All right, so our key findings can really be boiled down, and they may seem rather obvious, but it's always good to study the obvious to make sure it's actually true. The quality of the infrastructure, the services, and the communications did have room for improvement across all of the rural areas of VISN 5, and there's a large need for investment in gender-specific resources and services. And then the next thing that we found conclusively was that a lot of the, or most of the women that we talked to thought that their providers were uneducated as to their needs. Simple things like understanding the terminology to be used for women's services, which was disheartening, I find. All right. Okay, so instead of reading you all of these, I'd like to focus on the second one, which is develop more robust methods for collecting, analyzing, and using the data to inform clinical processes. The VA has no shortage of data that we found. The question in our mind was, how is the data being used to actually improve the provision of care? There were a couple of things that we thought might be a good step for the VA to take. The first of those, they could standardize the use of women's health and rural briefing books. There are specific data modules out there that the VA has available to it that tells them how many women are coming to their clinics, what services are they using, and generally be able to do a community assessment that focuses very specifically at the facility level. And if that information could be standardized across all of the clinics in our area and then VA generally, you would have a foundation for a dashboard that would really be able to show the clinics whether or not they're meeting the needs of their target population. Routine data pools, the kinds of things that the VA could use to really better inform its care. All right. So generally, we measure the success of our outreach program across these measures. This is ongoing, and we don't have actual numbers to go with any of the program measures because our goal was to create the measures themselves, and hopefully they are being monitored at this time. So the first two, three even, are really meant to speak to one of our underlying goals, which was getting women veterans to begin using the VA, which would further subsequently justify the VA putting the money into making the changes that it needs to address them. The next is gender-specific quality measures and even satisfaction measures as an outcome measure to be able to identify once you've got those services in place whether they are being helpful to the women. And then finally, utilization of the rural clinics that I've showed you where the utilization is very low. All right. So in closing then, what are our next steps? What are the VA's next steps for the program? Develop a dashboard. Like I said, use the data that you have available to you to improve clinical care. Further enhance that outreach program, arguably three FTEs across a place as large as Maryland and then those two counties in Pennsylvania is insufficient. Implement a health professionals training program at a very robust level. We do have those modules that we did create and followed it up with a mobile mini residency program. That's something that needs to be expanded on. We have found a significant need for training the professionals themselves. And then we, like I said, did those 73 interviews with veterans, which is a sample size and that we would like to expand upon. We found that generally the older women population was more willing to speak with us about their needs. We'd like to diversify that sample a little and really create a more robust research protocol that could help us better understand the population and exactly the sorts of clinical services that they need. So with that, I'll close, and I understand we're going to wait till the end for questions. All right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.